Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. As Femi just mentioned a moment ago, the protons are zipping around inside the super collider over there underneath the farmland of Switzerland and France. And some people have predicted that black holes created in the super collider could end the world. Okay, the world is probably not going to end, but I have to confess something. I am in love with our listeners, okay? We asked, put on your apocalyptic hat and tell us, if the world's going to end, what business are you going to take care of today or in a month? How would the world end? BJ says on our site, is it just coincidence that some physicists predict that the hadron will result in mini black holes that could bring about the end of the world in 4 years? Or is the year 2012 of more significance than we realize? What did the Mayans know? BJ says. Tell us your take at the takeaway.org or 877-8-MY-TAKE. Figuring out where black holes are is only slightly more difficult than determining what's going on in North Korea. And the shadowy, quite seriously, and reclusive leader Kim Jong-il was noticeably absent from yesterday's 60th anniversary military parade in Pyongyang. Unconfirmed reports suggest Kim suffered a possible stroke at issue. With no clear path of succession after Kim is the fate of the hardline, famine-plagued communist state, relations with South Korea, and, of course, the issue of nuclear stability in the region and the West. Donald Gregg was the U.S. ambassador to South Korea from 1989 to 1993. He's chairman of the Korea Society in New York. And Ambassador Gregg, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Now, being the ambassador in South Korea means you have a very, close to the front of the stage seat for what goes on in North Korea, but it's still pretty difficult to determine what's happening in Pyongyang, correct?
Absolutely. I refer to North Korea as the longest-running failure in the history of American espionage, and I know what I'm talking about because I was with CIA for 30 years, and we didn't get very far in learning about what was going on in the North.
What do you think is going on right now? There is a report out of Pyongyang that suggests that there was a minor stroke, life not in danger. Kim Jong-il is still in control. What do you think?
I think that's about right. I think there's a lot of evidence that he has uncertain health, diabetes, and, stroke possibilities. But we're in touch with the North Koreans here in New York at the mission to the UN. They're calm. There's no scenes of panic in the North. I think there is a health issue. But I think the key point is, why are we still reduced to speculating like this, which is so redolent of the Cold War? And the reason is that instead of building on what Bill Clinton accomplished at the end of his term, George Bush refused to talk to North Korea directly for 6 years. And the result of that was North Korea firing a nuclear weapon and becoming a member of the nuclear club.
And, of course, the axis of evil, North Korea, is in that, according to the Bush administration. We should point out and remind listeners that Bill Clinton even suggested in the waning days of his second term that he would go to Pyongyang. It ultimately didn't happen, but that's the sort of temperature of relations at that time. What do you think the succession issue is here? There really isn't a lot of precedent since 1950.
No, Kim Jong-il was anointed by his father, Kim Il-sung, as the designated leader for more than a decade before his father's death. That has not been possible now. And so there's lots of speculation about whether one of his three sons will succeed. I doubt that that's going to happen. I think it's more likely that there will be some kind of collective leadership. But I think that I've been to North Korea 5 times. I think the way lies open for improved relations with North Korea if we're willing to deal seriously with them. George W. Bush has belatedly tried to do this with a very able secretary, Assistant Secretary Chris Hill, who's being sniped at constantly by John Bolton. And Senator McCain sounds as though he would continue a very hard line. I think that's not the way to go. I know from my trips to North Korea that their number one desire is improved relations with the United States. They fear us militarily.
Well, we should note that John Bolton is sort of out of the picture at this point, but your point is taken as far as the hard line is concerned. I'm wondering if South Korea is a driver here, potentially. We've seen over the last year the emotional demonstrations against the United States regarding beef imports. I'm wondering if that drives South Korea to be more activist on dealing with the North here.
Well, I think that really started in 2000 when there was a summit meeting between Kim Dae-jung and Kim Jong-il, which went very well and really started a paradigm shift in Northeast Asia. That caused South Koreans to question whether our military presence was still as necessary as it has been. And so we have to keep a very good dialogue going with our ally in South Korea, who has been tremendously supportive of us in Desert Storm in 1991 and also in our adventure in Iraq. I think that the Lee Myung-bak administration is still getting its footing in terms of how it's going to relate to North Korea. But I think the way lies open for an intelligent resumption of dialogue with North Korea if we're smart enough to construct it.
Well, certainly, Ambassador, if there would be a change of leadership and a change of tone and approach in North Korea, it would obliterate some of the most longstanding Cold War ghosts that there are, the DMZ, the armistice, the Korean War, which technically hasn't even ended. All that could conceivably be swept away by a real sea change here. Donald Gregg, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Donald Gregg is the chairman of the board of the Korea Society and the former U.S. ambassador to Korea. We're talking about rumors of ill health of Kim Jong-il, who is the leader of North Korea. Who would succeed him? We have on our website more information about what's going on in North Korea. You're speculating on the end of the world. What do you have to say?
Hi, my name's Dan. I'm from Boston, Mass. And if I knew that the world was ending tomorrow, I definitely wouldn't have gone to work today. Have a nice day, guys.
That's great. If you have an idea of what you would do on the day the world ends, what business you would take care of, call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. Femi Oke came to work today. We're glad about that.
Thank you very much. Good morning. It is coming up to 29 minutes past the hour.